I'm going to ask George if he would lead us in prayer briefly.
Shall we all pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to worship you and sing songs to you on this Palm Sunday. Lord, we think of the time when Jesus entered that city, knowing what his fate would be, even although his disciples had tried to discourage him and realized that there would be trouble. We thank you, Lord, that your mind was set upon the task that the Heavenly Father had given. We pray, Lord, that we might learn from this example, that we too might learn what it is to do your will. We pray, Lord, that we might not take it for granted that we are saved. And we pray, Lord, that we might realize how precious you really are. We thank you, Lord, for the death on Calvary. We thank you for the resurrection life. We pray, Lord, for our speaker, that he would open up the scriptures to us, that we might understand what you would have us to know. We pray, Lord, we take it to our hearts. We pray, Lord, that it be very precious to us. We pray, Lord, for also next Sunday. We pray that it might be a special time, and that as the gospel goes out, there might be people throughout the land hearing this gospel anew. We pray also too for those in this village who as yet still do not know you. We pray for Ken Cotty's visit tomorrow. We pray, Lord, that there be good conversations and that you be stirring the hearts of the lost. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you have a look in Matthew chapter 21 and at verse 10. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this? Who is this?" You've only got to look at the scriptures and you find in the Gospels that a very large proportion of both Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is concerned with the last week of our Lord's life. So much because the most important week in Christ's life has begun. And the question that we have in verse 10, "Who is this?" is a question that, according to Matthew chapter 21 and verse 10, is a question that is asked by the people of Jerusalem. Not because nothing is known about the Lord Jesus, not simply because a prophet is not known, but because there are those who are not sure who he really is. Now, my query this morning is simply this: who is this person, the Lord Jesus Christ? Who is the Lord Jesus? Who do you think? Well, according to each one of the writers of the Gospel, the Lord Jesus is the King. He is the Davidic King. He is the one and only true King of Israel. He is the rightful King. He is the descendant of the Lord, the descendant of David. Who is this? If he's a king, in the manner of kings at the time the Lord Jesus Christ was living, then he is an absolute monarch. quite different from the kind of king that we have today. You will have realized, I'm sure by now, that I'm suffering this morning from a certain incapacity. It's happened on a couple of occasions before, but I do want to give to you enough at least from this morning, despite the particular trouble that I'm suffering from this morning. If you look in Zechariah chapter 9, you will read of the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Your king comes to you. The one who has the authority, the one and only person who has the authority truly of king as the king of Israel. Very different from the sort of king who reigned over Israel in those days, the Herods. Humble, but a king who cared for his people and a king who was determined to give to those who were living at his time the blessing which only he could give. Have a look at verses 12 and 13. Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It's written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you're making it a den of robbers. Who is this? This Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one first and foremost who has authority. He is the one who has the right to drive out of the temple those who at the moment are selling the animals who are required for the giving of sacrifices in the temple. And if you look a little longer, later in the chapter, you'll find the Lord Jesus doing something else, where he demonstrates his authority. He's the one who comes to the fig tree, and because he finds no fruit on the fig tree, he curses it. What sort of person is this Lord Jesus Christ? He's someone who is the one and only king. He's the one who has the authority to command those who are is the one who requires those who are selling in the temple, and he turns them out of the temple, just as later he curses the fig tree. And then later still in the chapter, we read of the chief priests and the elders of the people turning to Christ and saying, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" And Christ's reply is, "I also will ask you. Tell me, by what authority I'm doing these things?" John's baptism, was it due to, what did it come from heaven or from man? The point that we get in this chapter is essential that we should understand that who this is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this Lord Jesus Christ has the authority of the one and only ruler. I want to go on to the next question, not one that you find in the chapter, but which can be applied. Who are these? Not who is this? The Lord Jesus Christ is the one shown in the scripture to be the king. But who are these people? Well, the disciples and those who acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as the King of Israel. And they're rejoicing, apparently, in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord Jesus Christ is not acknowledging them as disciples. My dear friend, we get plenty of people today, just as in those days, who said that they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they are his disciples. By their actions, apparently, they believe in him. Apparently, they acknowledge that this Lord Jesus Christ is truly the King. I've been long enough in the ministry to have discovered how many people there are who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and who would call themselves his disciples, but in fact are not his disciples at all. Dr. James is this morning preaching in a church in Rwanda, and I do not doubt for a moment that the dozen or so people who are likely to be there would call themselves believers in Christ, would call themselves Christian. And this morning they will be taking the Lord's Supper. But I am quite sure, from my experience of preaching in that church often enough, that not one of them seemingly has any personal experience of Christ or any knowledge that the Lord Jesus Christ is King. This is the great matter for concern for so many in these days in which we live. Men and women who think themselves to be believers in Christ, who regard themselves as disciples and believers, but have not yet acknowledged the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. Before the chapter ends, you find a parable, which is exceedingly important, the parable of two sons. We're told that there was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go and work today in my vineyards." And he said, "I won't." Later on, he went. And then there was another son. He said, I'll go work in the vineyard. As in actual fact, he did not go. He said, I'm a disciple. I'll do what you want me to do. But in fact, he refused. And what should concern us this morning is simply this. On this Palm Sunday, have we got the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Saviour and Lord? Or have we not? Try to think back, will you, over your life, and try to think whether there has been an occasion when the Lord Jesus Christ has become your Lord and King. One thing above all else that I want before my life comes to an end is to know of others, especially those here today, who have not yet become believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I long to know of you turning to trust in that Lord Jesus. It's not unusual for men and women who have Christ as Saviour to come to the point when there are things which they can no longer do. Sometimes that is because life just comes to its close. But the business of a preacher is to try to persuade those who have not yet come to trust Christ as Saviour to do just that. I'm not able this morning to say more on what I have said. I have said both inaccurately and badly. Certainly not as I had prepared to speak. But the thing that matters above all else, here were these many people on that first Palm Sunday who acknowledged the Lord Jesus, who called and said as they watched Jesus enter Jerusalem, said, Hallelujah, Hosanna, what a glorious king this is. But within a very few days, they were crying, Crucify him. In other words, they hadn't got Christ as Saviour, they only said they had. And in these days in which we live, there are many, many, many in a country like this that calls itself a Christian one who say, I believe in Jesus, but in fact they do not. There needs to be the experience of conversion. Just as there needed to be those who on that first Palm Sunday there needed to be those who would turn to Christ and to obey him and to yield their lives to him. I'm sorry indeed this morning that I've had another experience, as you can realize, with a slight stroke. But take the passage that we have in front of us and see the difference between saying of Christ, I believe in you, or saying to the Lord Jesus, you are my King, and in actual fact, trusting him and putting your life in his hands. Let's pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we turn to you this morning and we ask, Almighty Lord God, that in thy great mercy thou wilt look down upon us, and that thou wilt speak to us as individuals and show what it really means to turn from self to the Saviour, to put life in his hands, to hand our souls over to the Lord Jesus, and to trust in what he did on Calvary in order that we might have eternal life. Grant, Lord, that even this morning, by the work of your own Holy Spirit, there may be a putting of faith in the Lord Jesus, that trust may be put in thy beloved Son. That we may say, as the hymn writer, just as I am, without one plea but that thy blood was shed for me, Lord, may we speak from the heart, and may we trust in thy Son. In his name, Amen.